So here's the question. How do active people in the Des Moines area stay pain-free and live the active, fulfilled life that they deserve at any age? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. I'm Ryan Domeyer, and welcome to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. All right, welcome back to the Rev Health Radio Podcast. I have a special guest with me today, Ashley Prine, who's a personal trainer and nutrition coach here in the Des Moines area and helps a ton of people virtually as well. Ashley, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, we're going to talk about a lot today. Ashley's been in the fitness industry for a while, it looks like. She's been traveling abroad, working, following her husband with some jobs, loves being a mom, loves helping people get better results either at the gym and especially with eating. So Ashley, why don't you describe kind of your fitness journey, how you got into fitness and how you got to where you're at now?
How much time do you have? I'll break it down pretty quickly. I was not fit about 10 years ago. I'm 38 now. So in my 20s, I was sustaining myself on like mediocre workouts every now and again, pizza and beer. I just was not fit. I was not healthy. I was not focused. And if I was, I was really doing that thing where you go gung-ho and white knuckle it every few months. And then you totally fall off the wagon. So I didn't really know what consistency looked like. Fast forward a few years, my husband was offered a position in Brazil of all random places to end up. And I was pretty unhappy in my corporate career. And I was like, yeah, let's do something different. Let's pick up and go. We didn't have any kids. We got there. I didn't have any friends. I didn't know the language. I literally was just lost in this gigantic city. And we happened to get a membership to this random gym. So I would go there for almost 3 hours a day. I realize that's absolutely crazy, but it was a time where I could just kind of get on the bike for an hour, watch my American television shows. I downloaded the Nike Training Club app from back in the day and I started exercising. And it made me feel really good. I was really anxious at that point because I was sort of in this new place and this whole new life. And I had no clue what I was doing. In life or in fitness. And so fitness kind of grounded me a little bit. The movement grounded me and it helped just lessen anxiety, build my confidence, and help me get in the groove and find a routine when I was really out of a routine. So that's how my love of fitness really grew. So fast forward a few more years, we moved to Luxembourg, I had a baby, and then we came back home and I was really working out really consistently at that point. I just really had a love for movement, but I didn't know quite what I was doing yet. But I started teaching group fitness and just started educating myself more. I realized when we got back, I didn't want to go back to corporate life. Didn't want to do the 9-to-5. It never really suited me. It never really made me happy. So I thought, I'm going to take some group fitness classes. I'm going to stay home with my son, Miles. Do the whole stay-at-home mom thing, but still have something for myself. And honestly, that just grew. So Miles is 8 now, and I've been teaching group fitness for 8 years. Oddly enough, I taught fitness before I moved to Brazil. I just wasn't very good at it. So I kind of don't, I had no idea what I was doing. I just enjoyed doing some kickboxing. I was never consistent. I was still sustaining myself on pizza and beer. Now I've evolved.
It sounds like quite the journey. And I want to hit on one thing because you used to work out 3 hours a day. Clearly that was before you had your son Miles, because I know you don't.
That was before I had my son Miles, and I did not have any social life. So I literally went to Portuguese class for 2 hours every single day. And then I'd go to the gym for 3 hours every day. And an hour of that was probably spent at the pool. Let's be real. Or just tooling around trying to figure out what the hell to do. Right? I think that's what a lot of us do when we hit the gym for the very first time. We just kind of like walk around and look at machines and try to figure out, okay, what's the right way to use that? I'm just going to copy that person and pretend I know.
Whatever Men's Health magazine says and whatever other people are doing, that's what people do at the Y. That's what I did at the YMCA as well.
Oh my gosh. That was when Pinterest was really big too. So I would like get on Pinterest and pin all the workouts that I wanted to do and then just kind of hodgepodge from there. I had no methodology. I just move my body. That's it.
And that led you to, seeking out some coaching, seeking out, how did you learn about movement? How did you learn about nutrition to doing what you're doing now?
I started teaching classes and honestly, I just dove into studying on my own. I really enjoyed figuring out what worked and really what worked efficiently because at that point I had a son, I was teaching group fitness classes And what I was seeing when I was showing up to group fitness classes was that people would come in and they would work out as much as they could, as hard as they could, and then they'd call it a day. And there was no methodology behind how they were moving, why they were moving so hard, the amount of time that they were moving. Like, it was just kind of like, I'm just going to show up and do everything I can, and then I'm going to go home and get on with my life. And I had that mentality for a long time. It's just like, okay, I got to burn as many calories so I can stay this weight, so I can eat whatever food I want. There was no methodology behind it. And honestly, it just left me exhausted. It left me burnout. It left me hangry. And it didn't leave me being a very good and patient mom, because I was trying to do so much in the gym in order to offset what I was doing in kind of real life, if you will. Like, I wasn't living this balanced lifestyle. I was going in and working out as hard as I could. And I saw so many people at the gym doing the same thing. When I saw that, I realized, okay, that's not really what we need to be doing. We need to have a little bit more balance. And I think a lot of people preach about balance, but we have no idea what it means. But it really means just moving your body more effectively and knowing what you want to accomplish that particular day and doing it well, and then fueling your body for the rest of the day well.
Yeah. And
that's really how I dove in.
I'm guessing you saw in your group fitness too, is everyone just wants to work as hard as they can without a purpose. And without that purpose, it just leads to kind of the yo-yo dieting thing that people do, where
totally
they're all in for 4 weeks. They might get some short-term results, and then it just comes all right back because they can't sustain it. Is that kind of the thing you saw in your group fitness teachings when you were early on, or
absolutely,
even now?
Yeah, especially we're filming this in January, and that's a big theme right now. It's going gung-ho, as hard as you can, you know, show up every single day, do everything you can. But the problem is, it's just like that with dieting. When we restrict ourselves, for example, and we don't allow ourselves to have the certain things, we cut out sugar and alcohol and carbs and whatever the case may be, we can only do it for so long. And it's the same thing with exercise. If we push too hard for too long, we can only sustain it because we either get burnt out or we get injured. And our body literally can't keep up with it anymore. So there is a point where you just can't keep up that level.
So with yourself, did you learn the consistency and the longevity of a plan yourself, or did you have to seek out a coach to do that, or an education? How did that route go to what you teach now?
I was more nose into books sort of thing, and kind of coaching myself through this. Admittedly, in retrospect, I should have totally hired a coach a long time ago to figure this stuff all out. But when I was teaching group fitness, I started out with one class a week, and then soon I was up to 7 to 10 classes a week when I was subbing and doing my consistent schedule. And I realized really quickly that when I was teaching those classes, I couldn't do a whole lot else, right? I had to really balance out the energy that I was giving in those classes in order to make sure I had energy to sustain my life. And that's when I finally figured out, I can't go as hard as possible whenever I'm in the gym. I have to figure out a way to really balance this out. And that's when my knowledge and education kind of combined, my experience in education, I should say. And it was like, oh, okay, there needs to be a method to the madness of how I'm showing up. Mm-hmm. And that's when things kind of evened out for me.
Gotcha. And then so that kind of leads us, and that's a really good background into, what do you do now? Like, what do you do group fitness, you do coaching, you do nutrition coaching. What does that look like? Is it one-on-one? Is it group? What's that? How's your setup, and how do you help people?
Yeah, I do a combination of everything. So I do virtual group coaching, where we do a small group. We focus on a particular objective for 8 weeks, and then we move on to a new objective. With my personal training clients, obviously that looks a little bit different based upon their goals and where they are at that point. So we go through phases with my personal training clients. And then with nutrition coaching, I do the same thing. We do group coaching. And I also have individual clients where we really hone in and focus on their particular objectives right then at the moment, so that we can achieve what we want them to achieve. So you take a couple different paths. When you're working with a group, of course, you can't necessarily narrow down to a personal objective. You really have to make it much more broad and open that scope up so that you can help a bigger group. With one-on-one coaching, obviously we dial it down a lot more, focus on exercises in order to achieve their goals, or, you know, what they need to be eating and fueling themselves in order to get to where they want to be.
So I'm curious about your group coaching, because I know exactly what you mean. Obviously, an individualized tailored program is the best, but not mm-hmm. everyone, that doesn't quite work for everyone and isn't suited for everyone. So with your group right. coaching, I'm sure there's low-hanging fruit. Give me some things you're going over, especially January. Give me the low-hanging fruit that everyone can improve on now, especially things they maybe could do better or things they're screwing up that they think is the right thing to do.
Well, to get better, strength training is number one, I think. So right now in my group coaching program, we actually have a couple of different workout tracks that people can follow. One is called Build Basic, and that's really for everyone and anyone that wants to improve on form or their handling of dumbbells and barbells and other equipment. And then our other phase that we're following is called our burn phase. That's working on strength training and also metabolic conditioning so that we can get obviously the strength work in, but we can also focus on increasing that heart rate, working on interval training, kind of conditioning our body to kind of ride that roller coaster of our heart rate going up and down. I think the thing though that a lot of people need to focus on is strength training. A lot of women specifically are kind of scared to pick up weights. We think that, you know, it's going to make us bulky. But a lot of times when women say, and I hear this a lot with my nutrition clients, when women say, you know, I'm looking just to lean out and get that nice toned look, that does not happen without creating muscle. And strength training is a great way to create the muscle where you want to create it. And then you can also focus on burning fat so that you can actually expose that muscle. So that's a combination of our training and our nutrition.
You hit so many good points there. I couldn't agree more. One of the principles of Rev Health and Wellness is stronger people are harder to kill, just in general. And as we get older, we usually get weaker. We lose our strength and it just, mm-hmm. it decreases longevity. I don't know if it was a reel or an Instagram post you did recently about how at your young age now, you're still as strong as you've ever been. Is that still accurate? Do you feel stronger now than you did when you were in your 20s?
Well, I mean, my habits were really, really different in my 20s. So yes, I'm 38 now and I've been consistently strength training for about 4 years, I would say, really 2 years, quite focused on my strength training and actually the proper methodology, not over teaching classes and things like that. Mm-hmm. But yes, absolutely. And I think the nice part about strength training is it pays dividends, right? When you show up and you do cardiovascular work, you are getting a great burn for the amount of time that you're on that machine or doing the amount of work. When you do strength training, you're really putting money in the bank and getting a return on it. So you're just increasing that post-exercise consumption. Afterwards, you're increasing your decreasing your resting metabolic heart rate. You're just making yourself more efficient and more strong than if you were just to hit the cardio machines all the time.
I want to hit on that word efficiency. Whether it's your group or personal training, how long do people work out for? 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours? What do most people you work with do? How do they become efficient?
I always say, I really focus on metabolic conditioning. I like to lift some heavy weights. I like to do short rest periods. I like to do a few higher repetitions. And of course, we do some strength focus and higher repetitions with some lighter weights. But I am all about efficiency. I'm so over 60-minute workouts. So 45 minutes is about my max, and that's only when we're focusing on total body. This morning, we did an upper body focus workout with some HIIT work at the very end. That was about 40 minutes. And then we do a lot of strength circuits that are 30 minutes long. But as a mom and as a busy woman with competing obligations, I don't think it's fair to say that we have to show up for an hour every single day. So as long as we're showing up consistently, you can get a good workout in and be consistent with it 20 to 30 minutes every single day. Easy.
I agree that the consistency is key. Like with most things, that's how we make long-term habit change, is just building on some consistency. I want to circle back to what you said about there's still so many females that are scared of strength training, even though they may even know it might be good for them. Do you think it's scared of getting hurt or not knowing what to do, or not knowing how to lift a barbell, not knowing how to lift a dumbbell? What do you think is the hesitation with most of the clients you work with that are females that are scared to lift weights?
Yeah. Most of the clients that I have are around my age. We're kind of mid-30s, lower 40s. And I think a lot of us were conditioned. We all grew up in the 90s. And we are conditioned to do cardiovascular work all the time. So we weren't really trained to go out there and grab a dumbbell. I thought the free weights were always kind of the scary place where like the big dudes hung out. And then I got those weird looks. Like anytime I ventured over into that area, it's like, what are you doing here? I just felt like I didn't belong. So I think, you know, for me and for a lot of my clients, I think it's a combination of just not feeling comfortable being in that particular place in the gym, and just not knowing what to do with that equipment. How many reps do I do? What do I pick up? What's the weight I should pick up? How do I handle this? And do I go overhead, underhand? There's a lot of different things that come with it. So I always recommend that my clients start out with dumbbells. Dumbbells are super easy. They're a little less scary than the barbell. And then slowly work your way up to a barbell. The barbell has its place and time, but it's not absolutely necessary. Dumbbells, you can accomplish so much with dumbbells. In fact, you can accomplish a lot with body weight. So even if you're scared with the dumbbells, you can do a lot of the same exercises with just your body weight, and that's a great place to start out. I think the biggest thing is just like our consistency with workouts, it's just showing up and trying one new thing every single time, maybe going up in weight every single time, maybe just trying the barbell without any plates on it, but just kind of venturing and tiptoeing into strength training little by little is all you need to do to start feeling comfortable.
And that's kind of that's similar to what I've seen in my world as well. In the physical therapy world, especially in the old medical system that I was working in, people are just underloaded. Like the yellow TheraBand like isn't quite enough to make you strong. Like if you want to be strong, you need to lift something of substance. Do you need to one rep max? Absolutely not. But I think that's a lot of the females I work with as well, are they're hesitant to lift something heavy. And it's just the stigma of, oh no, I'm going to get bulky, or, oh no, I don't, I just want to tone up. I just want to, and I try to tell them the best way to tone up is to lift something heavy. Like work your metabolic, keep your heart rate up and lift something heavy at the same time. That is how you're going to tone up and lean up more so than, yes, we're not trying to one rep max. We're not trying to be a power lifter. I don't think you should do that. But, and then the
that's fun too. That makes you feel like a total badass, but no, you don't have to do it.
Yeah. I have a whole nother rant and another podcast guest coming up of, if we want to talk mental health, like get under some really heavy weight and you figure out your mental health is, you're like, oh, there's way harder things. Oh. And my life isn't so hard. It's when I have my body weight on my back on a barbell. That's what I enjoy. That's certainly my movement practice as well.
That's such a good point too, because, you know, with cardiovascular work, I always just feel like I'm getting my ass kicked a little bit. And that, when you walk away from a workout like that, where you just feel a little defeated, I mean, it doesn't really instill confidence. When you get under some weight, it doesn't matter what amount of weight it is. When you're starting to lift, there's something about that just relates to your confidence, and that increase in confidence. That's like, okay, I can do this. I can lift, you know, 10 pounds over my head. I can lift 20. Now I can lift 30. There's something about building that intensity that does something really spectacular for your confidence. And as far as moms go, I mean, we're lifting up 30 pound toddlers all day long. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason we should go into the weight room and only lift up 5 pounds in each hand. You can handle so much more. We just don't think we can.
Yeah. Well, as far as the chemical process goes, whether it's endorphins or whatever, but yeah, everyone talks about the runner's high, and there's a certain confidence with that too. Oh, I ran 1 mile, I ran 2 miles, I ran 3 miles.
Yeah.
I feel so good. It's never really talked about with lifting weights, where I've been trying to lift that for so long and I'm finally strong enough to do it. Like that makes you feel so good. Like that is such a big win for people. And that's that's the purpose. And that's better than going and just going to a workout class because I need to go to a workout class so I can eat more for dinner tonight. Like that's that's not a sustainable lifestyle. That's not gonna cut it. That's what we did in the 90s. And we realized there's a better way. That there's such a better way to eat, to move, to live a life, to have a life outside. And that's what I try to tell some people is, yes, go to the gym to get strong so it can keep up with your lifestyle. Like, yes, Absolutely. If you want to be a power lifter, that's your sport. That's awesome. You want to be a bodybuilder? That's sweet. Go to the gym more than anything so it can keep up with your kids. So you're not left behind. So you can actually do whatever they want to do. And you don't have to be left behind as they get older. That's the thing where I help people generally in pain when they come see me, overcome that. And then at the back end, say, you need to continue to get strong in order to keep up with the lifestyle. And the runners is the easy one where I'm on a mission to make every runner I encounter trap bar deadlift. I'm like, this is the easiest thing. Just lift that really, really heavy bar.
Lift
like,
it up.
You can't screw it up. This is easy. Like, I'm guaranteed it'll make you a faster runner in the long haul. Like, I promise you. And that's been a passion of mine is like, how can I get people that are scared of being strong or in pain because they're like, I don't know if I should lift that. It might hurt my shoulder. I'm like, I will tell you exactly how to lift it so it doesn't hurt your shoulder.
Right.
Get them strong.
Well, so what most people don't realize too is with strength training, I mean, you're really training for life. You're training to pick things up off the ground and, you know, pick the boxes up. You know, you're training for that functional training. And it's great if you have an end goal that you're training for, if you want to be a bodybuilder, if you want to run a marathon, fantastic. But ultimately, I want to train in order for me to feel good the other 23 and a half hours of my day.
That's why you right? go to the gym. That's your why. That's your purpose. I couldn't agree more. And functional fitness, and you can maybe go on a functional fitness rant because that term is probably widely overused. I think people yeah. think functional fitness is standing on that blue BOSU ball or doing something like that. When really it's like, oh, do you need to sit down and stand up? Yeah, that's called a squat. Oh, do you need to pick your kids up off the ground? Yeah, that's called a deadlift. That's functional fitness. That's getting strong and staying strong for life. I want to talk some nutrition stuff because yeah. I know you have found a way that macros work really well for you and for your clients. Walk me through, let's even start the lowest of low. If anyone's listening and hasn't heard of macros, I don't know if any of them are still out there, but say what macros are, how you coach people, how you use them, how that works yeah. with your life.
Well, macros is a buzzword, right? And I think sometimes we dismiss the buzzwords or we really hone in and listen to them. So, I mean, macros has been quite the buzzword, I would say, what, the last 4 or 5 years? It's mm-hmm. really come into play for kind of, you know, the common population. But macros is a way of focusing on your energy input and actually focusing on what is within those calories. So we've all heard of calories in and calories out. But macros actually focuses on what's in those calories. So macronutrients are your proteins, your fat, and your carbohydrates. You have 3 basic macronutrients, alcohol, if you really want to get into it, but obviously alcohol is not necessary. But I like focusing on macronutrients because when we're looking at other diets, for example, the keto diet, we have to eliminate carbs. We have to eliminate a whole macronutrient. And that is really, really hard because most of us, whether we know it or not, we're eating pretty semi-balanced already. Pulling out an entire food group, difficult. If you're looking at, you know, even Whole30 or 75 hard, you're looking at an end date and you're looking at this perfection over time. And if you mess things up, suddenly you're back to square one. So that kind of sucks too, because you're like, okay, I put in all this hard work and now I'm just kind of going back to the very beginning. You know, and if you're looking at just getting a meal plan from a nutrition coach and just following it turnkey, it's really difficult because how do you change it to make it work for you? What do you do when the meal plan is over if you don't want to keep paying for a meal plan? Because I will tell you, meal plans are expensive, you know? So macronutrients, I've really found for my clients, not only does it fuel our bodies the right way, I'm always advocating for the women that I work with to be strength training, but in order to, you know, get all the gains that we can, literally from strength training, we need to be fueling our body the right way with proper protein. My 8-year-old is sneaking around over here. So we need to be fueling our body the right way if we're working out as well. But this also allows us to balance these macronutrients and our calories in a way that actually works for us. So when I bring my clients on, in fact, we just started a new round of my 8-week program called Macros Made Right. So the first assignment this week was not to change anything. It was literally just to track and just to figure out, okay, what are we bringing in? What's our average calories per day? Great. Let's look at it. What's our average protein, average fat, and average carbohydrates? And that way, instead of doing this whole overhaul where we're running out to a store and we're loading our pantry up with all these weird things, we are taking what we're already eating and just fine tuning it. Because I don't know about you, whenever I've done an overhaul, it lasts for maybe a couple weeks. And then I'm like, okay, I want to cook what I want to cook, like what yeah. I'm used to cooking, what's easiest for me. So we take that and we fine tune it. We up the protein, we change out the carbs, we fine tune the fat, because all of those macronutrients are extremely important to our health, to our hormone balance, to our energy levels. And we make it work individually for everyone. So that's in a nutshell.
No, yeah, you hit on a couple of things there that I want to circle back, because I think that is a common thing people say. I think keto has been the probably bigger buzzword lately, where you go from a standard American diet of fairly high and probably carbohydrates, which maybe that's okay for some people. I've found it doesn't work as well for me, but you go from extreme high carbohydrate intake to, oh, now you're on the keto diet, you have zero. That extreme, right. People say it doesn't work for them. I'm like, well, you went from one extreme to the next without any in between. From what you described with your program, it sounds like you're starting slow. Let's figure out where we are. Let's figure out, start basics, make a couple habit changes and let it build over eight weeks. Is that the duration you found works best with your clients? 8 weeks, 12 weeks? What have you experimented with as far as making change?
Yeah, I actually give my clients lifetime access to this program. And there's one major reason why. I want them to go through this program at their pace. Because the thing is learning about this takes some time, of course, but it also takes a lot of time to implement change. And I think that's the biggest thing when we're going into a diet that's really kind of turnkey. Here's exactly what you do. We start with this complete overhaul. We set an end date on it. And then it's like, okay, now we're done. But you're not done. You have a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. And that's, macronutrients is more of a way of life. I always tell my clients, I'm like, I don't want you tracking for the rest of your life. That sucks. But you do need to track right now in order to figure out what works for you and then how you can fine tune those particular things. So 8 weeks, we do that with our group coaching so that they have one-on-one access to me for a total of 8 weeks, which works really well in those stages where you're just kind of getting your shit together and trying to figure things out. Mm-hmm. And then they have lifetime access so that they can keep going back. So for example, if they go into Macros Made Right and they're like, okay, I want to lose fat. They're going to go into a cut, but now they need to come out of that cut and they need to do it the right way so that they can come back to that module and figure out how to reverse properly for them, how to really thrive in maintenance, how to kind of sit there for a while and be okay with maintaining. A lot of us aren't. We just want to dump right back into a cut. And then also a lot of people want to swing up and they want to build muscle so that they can go back into that fat loss phase or that cut phase and really expose that muscle. So macronutrients is really a long-term sustainable solution, which is why, yeah, I give 8 weeks of coaching, but they have lifetime access to it because it never stops.
No, it really doesn't. It is a journey and everyone kind of, and yes, whether it's two decades ago, the paleo diet was one of those. Paleo diet, Whole30, now 75 hard is super popular among people, which is a great short-term program to kind of figure out if you want to do a reset, which is great, but yeah, it's not sustainable. It's too extreme in order to be sustainable. You can't live a normal life unless you can't go out with your friends and go out to eat, and it's just information overload. And tracking macros, when I first heard about it, 10 years ago or so, I instantly kind of scoffed at it because I associated it with calorie counting, where I'm like, it's too much freaking work. Like, I don't want to put in that much work. Like, I don't care about my calorie intake because it's too much work to track. How do you have people track their macros? Is it scale? Is it by just looking at it, by weight? How do you have them?
I give a couple of different options because, tracking calories, especially in the beginning, it sucks. It does, because there's a learning curve, and any time that you make a big change, it's gonna feel hard for a while. So when I have my clients track, typically I literally have them track everything with a scale. They're tracking everything for especially those first 8 weeks, and it gets easier. I have a bunch of different hacks for tracking with. I like to use MyFitnessPal. There's a lot of different places out there that you can track, but I have a whole sheet of videos that my clients can go through in order to make tracking much easier. But yeah, they track every little thing in the beginning. Now, that can be a slippery slope into sort of obsession for some people. And I do recognize that. So there's always ways, and Ryan, you've done the precision nutrition course. So you can track, using your hand and just kind of gauging food. And that's a really good way to do it too. But the methodology with tracking is that it gives us an idea of where we're at. Because if we don't know where we're at, we have no idea how to get to where we want to be. Like, what do we change? If you don't know where you're at, how do you go from point A to point B? You don't effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to track in order to get to where we want to be, and also important so that we can kind of train our bodies and our minds to know, okay, this is 6 ounces of protein. You know, this is how many vegetables I need. And then we really start getting in the routine of adding protein, fats, carbohydrates to every single meal. And eventually you have that flexible tracking where you can look at your plate of food and say, okay, this is exactly what I need right here. And you may have to loop back into tracking every once in a while to kind of pull you back in and just make sure, for example, if you go off the rails during the holidays, like a lot of us do, January is a great time to track.
Yep, January 1, everyone's like, yep, time to track everything.
They're like, I'm busting out my MyFitnessPal app. I'm tracking again.
I don't know if this analogy works or not, but I almost related to just, yeah, information or data. So I remember the first car I had that had like the miles per gallon little thing. And at the beginning, I'm like, this is so cool. You get to track miles per gallon. You look at it all the time. You're trying to see what it is. And after a while, you figure out the patterns and you're like, oh yeah, when it's cold out, it's less. When it's warm out, it's more. And over time, you kind of figure out what it is. And that's similar with macros, where at the beginning, you want to see where you're at. You want to see what works. You want to see what's going to get you the results. And then by the time you're done and sustainable, you have that data, or you don't have to obsess with it all the time. Is that a fair description of how your program works with a lot of the people for macros, or is that?
I think so. I think at first you're gonna pay a lot of attention to it. You're gonna feel pretty number obsessed. And I think anyone that's tracked macros has probably felt that way at first. But I like to also liken counting macros to work that you're never gonna have to do again. The thing is, you know, I have a lot of clients that have started a diet every single year on January 1st or whatever Monday follows. And it just feels like we're doing this work every single year, every quarter, every, you know, however many days we start with these new diets. And it just feels like all this work all over again. And I think the nice part about macro tracking is, you know exactly how to do it. You know what your body needs. And now you just have to track. That's it. And then when you're done tracking, and when you've kind of figured that all out and you can look at it and be really flexible with your food, then you can get into more of intuitive dieting, swapping things out, having a lot more wiggle room with your diet. But that's the nice part about macros too, is that you can live your life. I'm never asking any of my clients to not go out to dinner with their girlfriends or have a date night with their husband or not have pizza night with their kids. And a lot of people say too, can I have like a glass of wine? I'm like, yeah, you can, because that's real life. And the thing is if you can't do that on a diet, you're not going to stay on that diet.
No, it's not going to be sustainable. It's not going to work for your life. It's just not going to work at all. When you work with people, and I'm curious, because you do both, you have your feet in the fitness realm, whether in group fitness or personal training, and in the nutrition coaching, one-on-one and group training.
Yeah.
Do you have people that start both at the same time? Would you prefer they do one versus the other? What is it too much to do both? What do you have them prioritize? What works with most people?
I have a combination of everybody. Some people start with the fitness side of things, and then they really realize how much nutrition plays a role in what they're doing in the gym and under the weights. Then I have people that start with nutrition, and I do emphasize that I want them strength training while they're working on nutrition. And sometimes it just takes a while to get them to come around to what we're doing. And then I have people that start with both. So it really depends. And I like to meet everyone where they're at. I can't force anyone to start focusing on protein, but I can educate them and let them know, you know, what the benefits of strength training or, you know, tracking your macros and taking a better look at your nutrition or even stress and sleep levels and things like that go, because everything does work hand in hand. And it's really, you know, we think one thing works better than the other. Just hitting the gym every single day is going to make up for everything that we're doing in the kitchen. And yeah, maybe it will for a little while. But finding that balance allows us to have more freedom and not have to spend hours and hours in the gym and not overwork and injure ourselves. And also, you know, working out and strength training allows us to have more wiggle room in our diet so we can still have the fun things. I think when we're focusing on a combination of both, we get the best of both worlds.
And that is the best balance. I've talked to so many personal trainers that are frustrated with their clients' lack of success because it's not just exercise. You can't just exercise your way out of a really crappy diet. Like maybe when you're younger and you have a great metabolism and maybe you can there, but when we work with people 30s, 40s and over, it's like, oh yeah, we need both. If you want those results, like I just can't exercise those 10 pounds away. Like you mentioned, that is important to you, but you have to be in both worlds. And that's why I think it's great that you hit both. And I loved what you said, where you meet people exactly where you're at. Like that is so important in a coach. I just did a rant on that I have.
We can go on a lot of rants.
Oh, we have so many rants. I meet people exactly where I'm at. Like I have someone that has back pain and his back never hurts unless he lifts more than 315 pounds and he needs to get back to 400 for his powerlifting sport. So his plan of care looks drastically different than the person with knee pain and she hasn't moved in 2 years and her start is she's walking 10 minutes every day. Like that is her. Those are two totally different plans of care. And I couldn't give the one guy walking 10 minutes a day, he would laugh at me because that's not going to fix his back. And she would be like, no, I'm not lifting those heavy weights. I haven't done anything in 2 years. It's been a pandemic. Haven't you heard? So meeting people where they're at.
Consistency looks different too. And I always encourage my clients, when we create a plan together, I ask them, what is achievable? And I have one client that works out 3 days a week. She does strength training. And I ask her to just get her steps in every day. She lives in Austin. So it's nice and warm so she can actually get outside. And then I have one client that wants to work out 6 days a week. And that's great. And I tune it. I fine tune those programs so that the consistency looks different for both of them, but they're still remaining consistent, even though they're not doing the same workout.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be the same with nutrition too. We start really slow so that you can find what's actually attainable, because if you can't do certain things every single day, then it's not going to work. It's just not. So one thing I have my clients doing this week is the first week that we started Macros Made Right. But even when I work with individual clients, I have them track and then I have them pick out two other things that they could do that move the needle just a little bit. So if it's getting 7 hours of sleep every single night, if it's just upping your water intake, 100 ounces is really arbitrary, but a lot of people say, get 100 ounces of water in, you know what I mean? But doing those little things that you're not doing already, the unsexy stuff is what people really need to do in order to create consistency for themselves. So you can't look at these people that are like Instagram models and on the cover of Women's Health and say, okay, I want to do that, because their consistency looks a hell of a lot different than if we're just starting out or, you know, we're just trying to get into consistency. So that's my rant.
I love exactly what you said, which is what is achievable. I do the same thing when I develop a plan of care. I can develop the best exercise with the best plan of care I've ever made in my whole life with the best exercises. And I asked a client a couple of weeks ago, because she's been to physical therapy forever. She has hypermobility. She has chronic pain in all of her joints. And I was like, what hip exercise do you like the most? And she was like, no one's ever asked me that question before. And I was like, I'm instantly curious, because I'm like, I have my favorite ways, but if you're not going to do side planks with hip raises, I'm not going to program them for you, because I'd much rather have a less perfect exercise that you're actually going to do than the perfect exercise that you do every now and then. And she was like, wow.
Not at all.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's crazy. I'm like, yeah, you will create a plan together. That's the sign of a good coach. When I meet a good coach, it's they meet them where they're at and they don't give them any more than they can handle. And I'll give you as much as you want. I have a whole whiteboard in my office and I'll give people a whole program if they want to do it. But here are the top two most important things. Let's not forget that. The big stars at the top, whether it's getting out of pain or losing 10 pounds or trying to get stronger.
And we forget that there's those dial movers that, like, as long as you show up and you're consistent with those are your dial movers. It's not the other fluff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not the stuff you see on Instagram, despite your big Instagram presence. That is funny. I'm just programmed not to believe anything I see, just because I'm like, are those foam plates that the person's really lifting? Are they actually lifting that? Or do they actually look like that in the model? I'm like, it's essentially like a magazine cover.
Some foam plates. That would be perfect for Instagram.
That should be your next investment, is as your husband buy you some foam plates for your garage, so you can go on and show a deadlifting video of 95 pounds that looks like 400 pounds. Like, hey,
great.
Look at this. Look how strong.
We're on to something here.
Look how strong Coach Ashley's getting, huh? She. I'm going to do a quick recap, but is there anything else? January, big time year. I know if anyone's listening to this, you're probably thinking about your health in some way, shape, or form of what you can do. What else have I not hit on, or what haven't I asked you that you want to inform the people about so they can start living a better life in 2022?
You know, I think the thing I want to reemphasize the most is focusing again on the unsexy stuff and really creating consistency with that. Focusing on, you know, bettering just a few things every single day and making those small habit changes. If you're not working out right now, maybe that's just showing up and walking 10 minutes every day like you program for your client. Maybe it's showing up every single day and doing 10 minutes of stretches. Like, doing some sort of movement every single day is going to be really worthwhile if you're not there already. If you are working out already, maybe honing in and focusing on that strength training a little bit more, picking up heavier things, focusing on a few lifts every single time and some accessory movements. But again, just the consistency. And consistency is your own. Have you ever heard of the phrase, never miss a Monday, Ryan? I'm sure you have.
Of course I have. Of course, never miss a Monday.
Never miss a Monday. I kind of think it's bullshit because I'm like, I get my long workout on Sundays. Like, Mondays are typically my rest day. I kind of chill out on Mondays. Your consistency looks like your consistency. So work out when you can and make that a priority in your day. When it comes to nutrition, you know, you don't always have to meal prep and plan on Sundays. I do a lot of mine actually on Wednesday evenings when I can actually get some grocery shopping done. And midweek, I set myself up for success. It looks different for everybody. Focus on a few things that you can improve and then just the consistency for you and your family and your life. That's my biggest piece of advice.
I love that. Especially starting, if you're not moving, get moving. Like, just try something. Yes, it's winter in Iowa where we're at, but a lot of people are in warmer spots. Like, do something, because the winter months here in Iowa, we tend to gain some pounds because we just don't move nearly as much. Get stronger. That's a big thing. I loved your post about getting stronger and empowering women to be stronger, because it looks like your program is geared a lot towards women. Do you have many male participants?
I have a few men, but yeah, I'll admit I work mostly with women who are moms, who are busy. They've got busy lives and a lot of competing priorities. That's really my main demographic, but I suppose that really could extend into, I mean, obviously men have very busy lives and competing obligations as well. But yeah, I work with mostly women.
From a market standpoint, I don't think it's worth it for you. Men never want to seek out help. So I think you're right.
You guys are hard-headed.
So hard-headed. Even in my clinic, someone asked me that. They're like, do you treat more men or women? Like, do you treat more big weightlifting guys or more women? And I was like, honestly, women, because they actually ask for my help. And men will sit there and just ignore it forever. And even, unless their wife tells them they have to go, won't actually ask for help. And that's usually what I see.
That's funny.
Empowering people, get an achievable plan. If you don't know what you're doing, and it sounds like you didn't know what you're doing for a long time, and you taught yourself, which took a long time to teach yourself that. And people can teach yourself, but now there's so many resources out there to learn from.
Find
a really good coach that knows what you want to achieve and can put a plan together for you that's sustainable. That's what I try to teach to everyone. And it's for anything. It could be about nutrition. It could be a running coach. It could be a weightlifting coach. It could be whatever. If you have a goal and you need help getting there, find a coach. That leads me to Ashley. Tell everyone listening where they can find you. Where are you most active online?
Yeah, well, you can find me at ashleyprine.com, just like it sounds, Optimus Prime. But with an N. AshleyPrine.com is my website where I have all my information. Feel free to come over and try a class for free. You can always check out a group training class with me. Absolutely free. I kind of sit on Instagram a lot. I'm the Ashley Prine, because Ashley Prine is a Labrador Retriever. So I had to add the. And then you can also find me on Facebook at Ashley Prine too. So my 8-year-old laughing about that. I'm pretty sure last time I checked, it was a chocolate brown retriever.
So that's where we're on a Zoom call. For anyone still listening, we were on a Zoom call, and at one point I couldn't tell if the dog was coming up next to Ashley on the call or if that was her son trying to peek his head. Gets to be home with mom. So yeah, kids can't help but join Zoom calls, and we've learned that since 2020. There's so much fear of missing out, where anytime a Zoom call is going on, a kid knows where it's at. It's like, oh, I can see myself on camera. This looks like fun.
Yeah, total FOMO over here. So,
Ashley, this was a ton of fun. Thanks for joining me today. Hopefully we are starting to educate the masses. Please, everyone, get stronger. learn how to eat better. And if you need help, reach out to Ashley. She'll be more than willing to help you.
Yes, I will.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you at the next episode.
All right. Bye.
Hey, real quick before you go, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast and would like to share it with others, please take a screenshot and share it to your story on Facebook or Instagram, and make sure to tag Rev Health and Wellness. To stay up to date on all of our latest episodes, be sure to follow Rev Health and Wellness on Facebook and Instagram.